All right, now we open it up into our third hour. I am Jim Rome. What a great interview day we've had. An amazing interview day. We had Jonathan Abram in the first hour. We had Tom Verducci in hour number two, and we had Tony Bennett right there to end hour number two. Some of you Bruin fans are wondering, why can't we get that guy? Because you can't get that guy. He's not leaving Virginia for UCLA. I mean, believe me, it'd be the best thing ever, but you're not going to get him. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, 1-800-636-8686. And of course, as you'd expect, one of you is going to come up with this asinine email. It might as well be this guy. Dear Jim, great interview with Tony Bennett. What an awesome guy. Every time he and I get together, it's like I have a smile plastered on my face. Yours, Wayne Newton. Brett from Buggahaw, good brother. If by good brother you mean the worst brother, then yes, Brett, you're a good brother. The good brothers came in studio last week. They were amazing. You have nothing in common with them. Hey, Brett, if I were to put it to the good brothers that you've been walking around calling yourself a good brother, I guarantee you that either one or both would say you're more of a stooge or a nerd. Look at good brother Gallows breaking the mic. Dear Jim, not sure if I have ever been hit as hard in my boxing career as Hawk was by that camera yesterday. Signed, Barry Holmes. Mike in Reno. Den Lesk tweets, great interview with Tony Bennett. Now see if Hawk can get Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra. Like, Den Lesk, like, dude, you're not a funny guy anyway. But, I mean, for you even to stoop to that level. Tony Bennett is such a good coach. He deserves way better than that. And because he hasn't heard that a million times. Romy, did you say Tristan Thompson is getting ragdolled by sex? I know the feeling. I got choked out by sex. Regards, David Carradine. Chioff and Lincoln. I don't really understand that. But I will get to my take on Tristan a little bit later on. Maybe in the next minute or two. Trying to get somebody in here to make a difference. A good phone call. Oh, here we go. All right, so this happened yesterday. I know that you can't listen necessarily every single day, or maybe you do listen every single day, but can't hear every single segment. Rick in Buffalo came on and took a run at a number of Jungle Notables, including the bros from Canada.
Matt and Tyler's tandem job last Friday might have been the worst call in show history. From the lame walk-up music to that pathetic back and forth, the Canadian D-bag brothers embarrassed themselves, their country, and most damning of all, the show. If you're in the smack-off, hit Bob in Calgary with a golden ticket. At least that dude makes people laugh.
Rick in Buffalo yesterday. Why do I reset that? Because, you know, one of the guys that he took a run at was going to respond. Or all of them. But the first guy through on the phones is Tyler in Shredminton. Tyler, bro, what's up?
What's up, Romy? How you doing?
Good, bud. How about you?
I'm good, man. I'm great. All right, but just so you know, I was just messing around with Luke and Carl last week. Me and the bros are going to be heading out for a quick lift this afternoon, so we're all good, man. And that being said, here's the thing about Rick. He's clearly offended I went after his heroes. But the thing is, I can't help it if Rick is the only adult in the jungle that still has posters of the Good Brothers up in his bedroom. And let's not forget the fact that this guy was too scared to call in and try and talk to the Good Bros himself because he'd rather take the easy route. He'd rather come in and do his typical Rick routine, you know, where he attempts to eviscerate Mark with some of those big words he uses. I call it Rick's preschool teacher vernacular. Big words for Rick's big boy voice. Bitch, little man, dummy. You know, another thing, I'm not sure if you noticed this guy on Twitter, probably not, but to put it in perspective, he's sitting on his couch, and I'm going to spare you the details on what he's wearing because we don't need to go there, but he's sitting on his couch with a life-size picture of himself, like a six-foot-tall Rick and Buffalo Upper Deck rookie card, all framed or whatever, like it's actually worth money, and he's wearing a shirt with his own logo on it. So not only is this guy a grown-ass man that wears jerseys to hockey games, but he's a grown-ass man that wears jerseys with his own name on it. He's a grown-ass man that congratulates himself on social media. You know who else does that kind of stuff, Romy? LeBron James. You know how much junk Rick has talked about LeBron on your show? I don't know. I guess I thought that was just a tad ironic. And in case anyone forgot, I'll end this note by calling Rick the exact thing he always calls LeBron. Unwore that self-absorbed scumbag! I'm out.
Job, Ty Rackham. Tyler in Shremington getting racked with his response. Matt in Vancouver came in briefly on email yesterday. Tyler is in on the phones. We haven't heard from, quote, little man Mark. Mark, I'm sure, will find his way in at some point. Or, quote, victim in NoCal. Rick in Buffalo went after Matt, Tyler, victim, and dummy, the little man. 1-800-636-8686. Clone on clone crime. Jungle beefs. And Rick did say when he made the call yesterday, and I'll go along with it, that was the official start of the smack-off season. His call. Not only the smack-off season, but smack-off 25. The one you want to win. I've got a conversation with Ricky Williams coming up later on today, Ep 70 of the Jim Rohn Podcast. Let's keep going. You know, whenever I get one good phone call, I just try and see whether or not I can make it two in a row. We go to Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, Matthew. See what I did there? Because if I say it's Matt in LA, you'll all be like, no! No, no. In Los Angeles, Matthew. What's up, Matt?
James, how are you this morning?
Good, bro. Well played.
Right on. Hey, Machado to the Padres. I got to give them congrats, man. That's a big boy move. Doing that along with Hosmer last year, they're showing that they're ready to come in and try to snatch up second place because, you know, we got our conference on lock. But like I say, I got to give it up to them. Yesterday, Romy, we lost a special human being, not only because he was a Dodger, but a man who broke bread with one Martin Luther King, with one Jackie Robinson. I'm talking about Don Newcomb, the first black man to win 20 games in MLB history. Several time 20-game winner, several time 17-game winner. Verducci, listen up, man. Let's get this guy in the hall. He deserves to be there. He's a class human being, and he was one hell of a ball player. That's all I got, Jim. Or Pedro Guerrero being too stupid to make his own bed, but crazy enough to run off with OJ's girl and survive. Or Matt Pastry Dish Patricia, the Pontiac Pirate, intercepting Canadian bacon shipments on Lake Michigan with first winch Belly Clarkson. That's all I got. Outro.
Outro. Matt. I'll rack that. I would normally not do it since I did it yesterday, but since he mentioned Don Newcomb, it was during the show that the Dodgers announced his passing. He was 92. He was an amazing ball player and like a mountain of a man, a legendary, legendary player, one of the great Dodger pitchers of all time, and meant so much to so many people off of the field. And I mentioned yesterday as well that I remember interviewing him a number of times when I first broke into television, and he came on this show, and Alvin went into the archives and he found this soundbite, this exchange. Don Newcomb on this show way back in 2002.
Every once in a while, Don Jackie would come out to the hill, try to set you straight, try to settle you down. And, you know, he'd make you crazy and you'd think, you know what, Jackie, I don't really want to hear this. I don't want any part of you. And even if you thought that things might get heated and you might want to throw a Jackie, you'd have to check yourself because you don't want to mess with Jackie, right?
I did not mess with Jackie Robinson, nor did I mess with Roy Campanella. They were men who knew how to take care of themselves. And I respected them, and I would not under any circumstance, ever. Except one time Jackie came to the mound. We were against the Pittsburgh Pirates one day. I had 11-1 lead in the third inning. And I started playing around, throwing inside and outside, trying to hit spots and all that. I was going to be a smart pitcher in the third inning. And Jackie called time and came over to the mound when the bases were loaded and Ralph Kiner was at bat. And Jackie said, Newcomb, why don't you take that uniform off and go home because you don't want to pitch for the Dodgers. You're going to let somebody else get this win, and we may even lose it. With a 10-run lead, you're going to throw this game away just because you're trying to be smart on the mound. Go in the clubhouse and take your uniform off, and if you don't like what I'm saying to you, let's go in the clubhouse or in the dugout, and we'll settle it. Well, I got my head together, Mr. Rome, and I took care of business, and the score wound up 11-1, and I didn't ever challenge Jackie Robinson again, nor did I get out on the mound and fool around and play around like I was doing that day.
I couldn't love that story anymore. And Don Newcomb, when Don Newcomb said that I did not mess with Jackie Robinson or Roy Campanella because they were men that could handle themselves, believe me, nobody messed with Don Newcomb. Nobody messed with Don Newcomb. For him to say I didn't mess with those two guys because they were men who could handle themselves tells you quite a bit about Jackie and Roy Campanella. And how about Jackie Robinson? I mean, that it meant that much to him that Jackie Robinson went to a teammate and said, you know what, man? Why don't you go in the clubhouse and take that uniform off? If you're going to go out there and mess around and get cute and play games during this game, while we're doing business, if that's the way you're going to handle yourself, take off that uniform because you obviously don't want to wear it. And if you got a problem with what I'm saying to you right now, I'll meet you in the clubhouse. This is not the opposition. This is not a guy who violated the code. He actually may have violated the code. This was a teammate, a great teammate, a legendary pitcher ultimately. And him pulling a teammate aside and saying, man, handle your business. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I'll meet you in the dugout or the clubhouse. And he said that to Don Newcomb. And Big Nuke said, I got the message. I never did that ever again. God, it's an amazing story. He passed away. He was 92. Don Newcomb. This email says, dear Ban the Shift guy, I'm the easy answer. And I've been sitting here for years. Put me in the game, coach. Signed, hit them where they ain't. CC to bunts, taking pitches, pinch hitters, and practice. Eric from the Big Easy. Exactly. That's why they're shifting, because they know you're going to hit right into the shift. I'm definitely not a part of the Ban the Shift crew. Hey, Rome, I'm not at all a baseball fan, but I have nothing but respect for the Padres realizing that we have a major sports scarcity in San Diego and doing what they can to help fill that wide gap. Thanks, Azad. Azad. Azad's right. They're stepping up. They're stepping up. They know there is a scarcity. They know there's a void. They know they've got a chance. And again, my point about the San Diego Padres, the thing I like best about them, they're not saying, we have a nice nucleus. We've got the best farm system in baseball. Now, just be patient. 3 years, 5 years, we're going to be right where we want to be. Here's a trivia question. Who has spent more money in free agency the last 2 years in Major League Baseball? Who has spent the most money? The Padres. The Padres have. They're not waiting. They're building it the right way, but they're taking their shots. Hosmer last year, Machado this year, and maybe they're not done. When we come back, I'm doing my best not to go there because I really don't ever want to talk about the Kardashians. If that's your deal, that's fine. It's just not mine. I couldn't care less. The problem is they keep betting professional athletes. And then it becomes our problem. Then it becomes a story. And they've done it again. So I may go there next. I'm thinking about it. We'll be right back. Meantime, cell phone number is toll free. Phone lines are wide open. Hit me up.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Wow, Hawk. You look ridiculous. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, they bumped in with Hawk. Working the phones. Carpe Diem tweets. The 21-year-old sister's best friend? Get a hot tub, Tristan. Sincerely, American Chewy. God, hurts me every time. That gloss, that story, the whole thing hurts me every single time. Chewy was a jungle favorite. segment's brought to you by Peloton. Peloton's a game-changing indoor cycling bike that brings the energy of live studio classes right into your home anytime you want, winter or summer, rain or shine. With the Peloton bike, it is always the perfect weather to sweat. Learn more at onepeloton.com. That's still some of the best money I have ever spent. And yes, I bought one myself. That was not a part of our arrangement. I love that product. Peloton, onepeloton.com. All right, so let me be very straight about this. Let me say it for the 1,000,000th time. I'm not a Kardashian guy at all. I have less than no interest in what they're doing or who they're doing or what they're selling. I could not feel any less apathetic towards that family of fame mongers than I already do. I just don't care at all. However, while I might not care and I might be uninterested, I'm not blind. And last night, this family trended six different ways, disinterested, six different ways on Twitter. Six, not one, to quote LeBron, not one, not two, not three, not, three, not, not four, four, not five, six.
Not six.
Yes, six. Six different ways on Twitter. So something was up. If that family is trending six different ways, either one of them croaked or one of them broke somebody off. And unfortunately, it was the latter. I'm not saying I want anybody to croak. So what was it? Was it Kim and Kanye? Was it Kendall and Ben Simmons? Was it Kylie and Travis Scott? Nope, none of the above. Which can mean just one thing. Check this damning headline from TMZ. Khloe Kardashian splits with Tristan Thompson after he allegedly cheats with Kylie Jenner's best friend. This freaking guy. Hey, look, again, I don't care. I'm not going to choose sides or go all Team Khloe with you or say Khloe's the cool one. But dude, you gotta be kidding me about this. Tristan freaking Thompson again? Was this not the same dude? And correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not totally dialed into all Kardashian matters. But was this not the same cat who knocked up Khloe and then got caught on camera cheating with two gals at a DC nightclub when the video surfaced last April? And if that video wasn't bad enough, he was also filmed going into a New York City hotel with another woman altogether just days before Khloe gave birth to their child. I mean, they're stepping out, and then they're stepping out on your 9 months pregnant lady and doing it multiple times. I mean, that's some dirtbag level infinity status right there. Dude's about to hold his child. Still reeking of another woman from the night before? But even through all of that, somehow, some way, Khloe sticks with him. Whether it was for the kid, hell, I don't know, the show, another reason. I don't know. I don't care. I really don't. Doesn't matter. Point is, she gave this guy chance after chance. Another chance after he two-timed her while she was pregnant. I mean, so how did this horn dog repay that? By cheating on her again over Valentine's Day with Khloe's sister's best friend. This freaking guy. Let's check this out. Let's run this down. Cheat on your pregnant wife with multiple women. Check. Get forgiven. Check. Do it again less than a year later while you have a child together. Check. Choose Valentine's Day weekend to slip up and come off the rails. Check. Choose your baby mama's sister's best friend? Check. I'm telling you, at this rate, Tristan is a few months away from hopping in bed with Kris Jenner. Just a hit for the sleazebag cycle. Like, dude, you clearly cannot control yourself. I mean, you have no decency about it. But beside that point, you clearly cannot control yourself. Stepping out on her while she was pregnant was bad enough. But you had to go Mac on her sister's best friend over Valentine's Day weekend at a house party in front of a million people with phones looking to sell this exact kind of story? My man, you got a problem now. You got a real problem. Never mind no shame. I mean, never mind no shame, an incredible amount of no shame. It brings us back to the obvious. Sex is still undefeated. We know this. I'm not saying anything that I haven't said a million times that we don't already know. Sex is the undefeated, untied heavyweight champion of the history of the world. We know that. Except here, sex is absolutely ragdolling Tristan Thompson. It's not even a fair fight. My man does not stand a chance out there. My man just cannot keep it on lock. And now, just like LeBron, Chloe has left Tristan. Probably for the best, right? Probably for the best. I mean, seriously, I'd give it about a year before he tries something with the mom. It's trending that way. Dude is punch drunk from sex abusing him in the ring. Dude is no longer able to defend himself from sex. Where is the referee to stop this fight? Why is nobody throwing in the towel from the corner? Why is nobody jumping through the ropes to pull sex off of this guy? This guy's out cold and sex is stomping on his head. And save the jokes about how Chloe's dad is about to go kill for the third time. Again, Chloe's dad is not OJ. And right about now, the only person happier to hear that probably is Tristan. Because if he was, look the hell out. Again, I don't care about any of this stuff. I'm just absolutely in awe of the number that sex is doing on Tristan Thompson. This dude's getting beat the hell up. Because it is undefeated. It is undisputed. The thing is, it's just getting personal now between sex and Thompson. I mean, sex, move on to the next person. It is the undefeated, undisputed, unified heavyweight champion of the history of the world. Always has been, always will be. Just go ahead and ask Tristan Thompson. Bro, get some help. Or at least learn how to defend yourself. But I don't care about them. All right, so we move ahead and we'll take a short time out. When we come back, if it's a good call, I'll take it. If it's a legendary bad call, legendarily bad call, I'll probably take that too. Still ahead. A number of topics that I meant to get to earlier in the week that I didn't, that may hold. And Torts is back. So glad we had that. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update. PFT just tweeted, report, Landon Collins cleans out his locker at Giants facility. Uh-oh. Let's get to the ATP really quickly. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Jim, love all 69 podcasts so far. Looking forward to the next one. The podcast range in time on each guest that you have a conversation with. What determines how long your podcast goes? You know, honestly, we do not put a clock on it. We tell the guests that it's different than the radio program. It is a long form interview. So they kind of know when they come on this show that it's going to be 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes. But we let them know we'd love to have you 25 or 30 minutes. And then it just goes. You know, I kind of follow it along. They've got a life of their own. You know when it's over. They let you know when it's over. And some guys, if you let them, they would never leave. So generally, I try to give you a conversation that I can't do right here. Oftentimes with people that you would not hear on this show. And we take deep dives. So there really is no way. I just kind of follow it along. It's how it feels. Sometimes 18 to 20 minutes of premium content is great. Sometimes somebody will come in and give you 45 or even 60. It just depends. But, dude, that's amazing. You've listened to all 69? Thank you very much. Good looking out. Another good one today, Ricky Williams. We have not done it yet, but I'm going to interview him for that podcast after the show. So look for that to drop later on. This tweet is from Johnny Scabs. Khloe Kardashian? Never heard of her. Signed, accomplishments. Hey, Rome, you're acting like there isn't more than a great chance that Khloe and the Kardashian producers didn't make Tristan Thompson cheat on her for ratings. Stephen PHX, unwore Ray J for starting what can only be described as the family representative as the decay of American society. Hey, Rome, it's not my fault. It's what the script called for. Yeah, how many different ways do you want to say that? The producers made him do it. It was written into the script. Lee in Vancouver. Hey, Rome. Well, at least I didn't end up in a coma from drugs in a bunny ranch while with Khloe. Give me some credit. Signed, Tristan. John in Huntington Beach wore OJ going after Tristan for revenge for his daughter. I thought I covered that. John? I'll tell you what, is it me or is Oge keeping a very low pro? We haven't seen or heard from him in a minute, which is good. But it seems like he's keeping a really low pro. 1-800-636-8686. Looking at the call screen. Yeah, don't really want any of those. All right, so instead, why don't we talk about the Yankees? Because it was not that long ago that Manny Machado was telling friends that he wanted to be a Yankee. Used to be, if you were a star player and you wanted to be a Yankee, you were going to be a Yankee. Or if you were a star player, and even if you didn't want to be a Yankee, you were going to be a Yankee because they threw too much money at it. According to a report from The Athletic before Christmas, Machado met with GM Brian Cashman, took a tour of the facilities, and reportedly said that if the offers were close, he would be in pinstripes. Well, obviously, the offers were not close because he's not. He's in San Diego. That didn't happen. In fact, like a lot of things didn't happen this offseason for the Yankees. Other than, I don't know, being called cheap. Like before Matt Kuchar got outed as one of the cheapest dudes in sports, Hal Steinbrenner was giving him a real run for his money. When he hopped in front of a live mic recently and he went all Pat Ewing with it, essentially saying, yeah, we do make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money. He told the New York Post, quote, if there's a narrative that we're not spending money and being cheap, that's just false. That's one of the problems with this narrative. I hear everything about our revenues and hear nothing about our costs. I hear nothing about the gargantuan debt service payment that we have to pay every year. Nothing about all of our stadium operations, all the security, not to mention player payroll, not to mention revenue sharing. I just think it's fair if you're going to have that kind of discussion, if you're going to be talking about revenues, you better be talking about expenses. End quote. All right, that's fine. Except the Padres somehow found $300 million to sign Manny Machado. And Hal Steinbrenner is checking the penny saver to see if there's a 20% off coupon on stadium operations. Hey, say what you want about his old man, but you can bet that dude was not checking Groupon for any two-for-ones on a 26-year-old superstar in his prime. But maybe his manager can make some sense of it. Maybe Aaron Boone can make some sense of how Manny Machado ended up in San Diego. He was asked about that. And unfortunately, this response only convolutes matters.
Oh, I don't know. You know, the ebb and flows of the winter and the different, you know, conversations I know Cash and his staff have all the time. You know, in my time being up there and having being involved in conversations, there were so many different things that we covered over, you know, over the course of the winter. So who knows where things ended up and, you know, and then to see, you know, he and Harper obviously still out there this late, you know, that's, you never know where it's going to end up. But, you know, I guess my take on it is, you know, San Diego signed a really great player.
I like Aaron Boone. I've always liked Aaron Boone. I'd call that word salad. But that's more like word garbage.
Garbage.
I mean, all I got out of that was, I don't know. And San Diego signed a really great player. But if you want one dude in that organization or connected to that organization who was not afraid to say what he thought, would you check this kid out? While Aaron Boone is talking in circles and Hal Steinbrenner is complaining about debt service payments, Yankee kid is unleashing straight fire from the seats.
Manny Machado just signed a $300 million deal with the Padres. Why not?
Now that's how you handle it. That's what I want to hear. When the question is asked, how the hell did this guy end up in Chicago, or I should say San Diego, when he's on the record as saying, I want to be in pinstripes, and if the offer is close, I'm coming. And nobody's answering the question, except that kid, except that five-year-old kid. That's how you handle that, by telling everybody you didn't want him anyway. You don't want him, and you don't want Bogarts, or Betts, or Donaldson. Hell, Tom Brady, get the hell out of here. And stay the hell out of Miami, too, while you're at it. Get him, kid. You tell him, kid. It doesn't happen, right? Man, that kid's parents got to be proud. And I know they are because they flipped his lid around so everybody could see his face. I love that kid. I love that kid as much as any kid I've seen in quite some time. But I don't know that I could love that kid like my own kids, except this other kid. I haven't heard that kind of fire coming from the kiddie pool since Mets kid lit up Terry and his mole face.
Oh my God, we won 2 out of 3. Big deal. This team is an absolute f***ing joke. 23-8. Syndergaard, get out of here, you little Barbie doll. Get the f*** out of here. Go get a little robotic arm. Because you can't even stay 2 innings for this team without getting hurt. You f***ing idiot. It's all Ray Ramirez's fault, that f***ing mole face. Get him out of here. You got Kevin Plawecki getting absolutely rocked. I mean, you know it's bad when you can put the backup catcher in there. Like, damn, get the hell out of here and go to the minor leagues, boy. Terry, it's over for you, you little head. You little orange, you smoke as shit. You just need to get out of here. Because I'm not liking what I'm seeing from this team. 23-8, Terry. Better wake this team up.
You got that, mole face? Man, I would give anything just to freeze that kid in time. I hate that that kid's going to grow up. I hate that that kid's going to grow up and be an adult. I love that kid. I've never heard any adult spit that many F-bombs. Get a robotic arm, you bleeping idiot. Listen, if you want proof that weird things are happening in baseball, you got some kid wearing a Yankees gamer shooting out some helium-laced lava. It's not his fault. He's like a kid. He's like 5. While the owner and the manager of the Yankees aren't giving you anything. There's a kid at spring training willing to cut right through it and say, we're good. We're good with the guys we have. But then you got Hal talking about escalating costs of employee health care. And Aaron Boone sounding like Les Miles at a presser.
With, you know, be involved with the many things. I'm having a little heartfelt here.
If by heartfelt you mean stroke, damn, Les. Hit that guy with some aspirin. Just in case. Hey, look, I get it. The Yankees won 100 games last year. They've got a nice young core. They made a solid trade for James Paxton. They've got their ace, Luis Severino, taking a run even, and Mets stud Jacob deGrom. over his contract dispute. But when you need to go to a little kid hanging on the railing for some real talk about Manny Machado, it's time to put a boot to the ass of the evil empire. Step your game up, Yanks. Leave Step being cheap up. To the Mets.
This doesn't happen.
It doesn't. Quickly. Let's go to Vancouver. Matt in Van made it on. What's up, Matt? How are you?
What up, Pimp? I'm great. It's awesome to hear a couple five-year-olds who can out-smack talk Matt in L.A. Hey, man, you know Tristan Thompson is Team Canada, and Team Canada always has a parade of dimes in hot pursuit. So, you know, you got to cut the man some slack. And, yo, did I hear Rick brag about getting with Vic's wife yesterday, man? Yeah, great job, Rick. But the men who hold that same honor could fill Jerry World, bro. Rome, this freak Rick put up a picture on Twitter last night, and I showed it to my rocket. She was so alarmed that this guy spends time around children that she actually wanted me to call the police. Unwar teachers like Rick making America 17th in the world in education. See you later. Peace.
See you later. Peace. Rack him. It's a good thing. I knew it was coming. We all know it was coming. It's a good thing. Rick in Buffalo came in yesterday and lit up the bros from Canada, and they came right back in today, and they did what they did. We have not heard from, quote, victim in NoCal, nor have we heard from Mark in Hollywood. But Tyler and Matt don't wait long. They always respond quickly. They do not wait long. Huge call is coming up momentarily. Also, Ricky Williams is going to be the subject of the podcast. Once again, that's going to drop a little bit later on. Hey, Hawk, pick it up. Pick it up, pick it up. This is where you live. This is your domain. Incredibly, there are people listening right now, and I know you take pride in this, so I'll let you lay it out as opposed to me. There are people listening right now that do not know what a podcast is or where to find a podcast. Quickly, if we have a long-form conversation with Ricky Williams and we push it out later on today, where can they find it?
Just go to your iPhone, go to the podcast button on your iPhone, search Jim Rome, go to jimrome.com, search for the Ricky Williams podcast, or it should be right on the main page, or just type it into Google. It'll come up 10 different ways.
So, dude, are you still in concussion protocol?
Yeah, I can barely chew. I knocked the mustache off my face. I'm in pain right now.
I wish that was true, but that's not. What did the wife say when she saw that?
She thought it was hilarious.
All right, there you go. That's that. Thank you for listening. Jonathan Abram was a guest. Tom Verducci was a guest. Tony Bennett was a guest. F70 with Ricky Williams coming up later on today. Thank you for listening. See you then. We're out.